Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Vav, and we are holding right at that Halakha Mishnah. So we finished describing what was done by the Kohen Gadol with all of the damim that was bifnim, the dam of the par, and the dam of the seir. And now he's up to the next part, and the next part is the shiluach of the seirah mishtaleach. So we finished discussing what would be the din if something happened to the dam, if we needed a new seirah mishtaleach to determine which one was the seirah mishtaleach and everything else. Next step of the aveda was the actual shiluach. And this before, of course, the shiluach, the aveda that the Kohen Gadol himself doesn't do the shiluach. As a matter of fact, as we'll see, the shiluach of the seir can be done by even by Yisrael. Certainly doesn't need a Kohen Gadol, but the thing that he does have to do is the vidui. And we haven't gotten yet to the vidui of the soyer. And remember, we had a machlokas before about whether the vidui on the soyer is a vidui that includes the Kohanim or whether is it only for Yisrael and non-Kohanim Levim. So, says the Mishnah, Bolo etzes seir mishtaleach v'somech shtei adav alav u'mitvadeh. So the Kohen Gadol gets there, does smicha. Smicha requires both hands to be pressing down, the kol kocho. And he said to vidui, the kacha ya omer, ona Hashem, chat'u avu pashu lefanecha amcha beit Yisrael. So remember that the correct girsa, to be consistent with the Mishnayos that we had up until now, remember we had a machlokas about whether we should follow the lashon of the Torah, like Rabbi Meir says from the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, or whether we should go in order of the logical meaning of the difference between chet, ovein, and a kapara, and pesha, which is kapara, so that the girsa that we have over here is consistent with the way that we do it, which is the Rabbanan. However, remember that Rabbi Meir said that it should say avu pashu chatu in that order based on the way that Moshe Rabbeinu had spoken. So that's the way that the Bach changes the girsa. But in any event, chatu avu pashu is what we're used to hearing. So I would be fine. Amcha Beit Yisrael. Oh no, once again, Hashem. Remember that each one of these Shemot was a Shem HaMeforash, which would require Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto, we said before. And Kaperna Lechataim. Again, the order is the order that we have. According to Chachomim, Chet Avonu Pesha. So Kaperna Lechataim Laavonot Ulepshaim Shechatu V'sheavu Shepashu Lefanecha Amcha Beit Yisrael. ככתוב בתורת משה עבדך לומר כי ביום הזה יכפר עליכם לטהר אתכם מכל חטאותיכם לפני אדוני תצערו. Now this piece, והכהנים והעם העומדים בעזרה, did not appear in most of the other גרסאות that we find, and in fact it did not appear in any of the Mishnayos before when we were talking about the par, and there should be no difference between the reaction of the par and the reaction to the soyer, and it's very suspicious. So those who have the girsa say that this Kohanim Va'am Omdim Bazara, that this is going back now on all of the Mishnah, which makes a lot of sense. In other words, we talked about the Mishnah earlier about the par, we talked about the Mishnah over here about the soyer, and now we're just saying that you should know that there's also Chiyuv Avishtach Avoya and so on and so forth. Fine. The Gra takes this out, the entire piece of HaKohanim Va'am, and just simply has, Hayu'onim Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam Ve'ed, which was the girsa that we had before, and which is the fundamental chiyuv that we learned, we talked about where we know this from, Kishem Hashem Ekra, V'Godol Eloheinu, and so on. But in any event, this is what happened, and the difference would be, the girsa that we have in other places, is that this is there to tell me, HaKrovim V'Arachokim. So the Krovim are the ones that were Omdim Ba'azara. They're allowed to do Ishtach Avoya. Remember that we do not do Ishtach Avoya outside of the Azara because of the problem of Evan Maskit, which is an issue, the Raita, if you're on a place which is marble floors or a finished floor of stone, Midiraisa, you'd be over on a lav to do Ishtach Avoya. Okay, so there the girsa in the Tosefta is the difference between the Krovim and the Rechokim. So this piece is not clear. It belongs in the Mishnah, but anyway, it's definitely part of the song, right? So we got to sing it. So HaKohanim V'Am Omdim Ba'Azara, So this part is certainly part of the beautiful Aveda that we do on Yom Kippurim. Kishayushomim b'shema meforash u'yotzim mipi kohen gadol, v'yukorinu mishtaravim v'noflim apneim v'omrim baruch shem kivod malchuto l'olam v'ed. Now at this point, the Aveda of the Kohen Gadol is complete with the Seir, and he now passes it on and gives it over to the person who was the Ish Iti, who was supposed to be taking it. So at that point, Masuro Lemi Shaya Molicho, and this is the last thing that the Kohen Gadol does, and he does, in fact, hand it over. It isn't just a question of, okay, now leave it, let somebody come along and take it, because, in fact, the Lashon of the Pasuk is Mashma, that he is going to hand it over, which we'll see that this becomes important later on. Because if he doesn't have to hand it over, so then it could just be taken out by anybody. Okay, and the din at that point is that anybody could really take it midiraisa. Kok sherim lahalicha, it would not have to be even a kohen, koshke not kohen gadol. But the thing is that asu hakohanim agedolim keva, the kohanim gedolim, in order to be, we find this very often, that they were makbid to give more kavod to the Kohanim, and that Aveda and anything that has to do with the Aveda shouldn't be given over into the hands of a non-Kohen. So they made it a basic hanhaga of a kvias. Didn't mamish make it a halacha, but that bottom line is, when they had to determine who it was that was going to do it, they always chose a Kohen. They actually wouldn't even allow the Yisrael to do it. Now, the Pashtus over here, as you see in Rashi, is that it has nothing to do with Kohanim Gedolim, which is very strange, that Elisha Asu Kohanim Gedolim Keva. Rather, the Girsa was it's the Bezdin of the Kohanim that we're talking about over here. So the Bezdin, meaning the Kohanim in the Bezdin, Shekohanim was Achroi in the Beis HaMikdash, on the Seder HaAvedus, in practical terms, they would be the ones to select and so on. And they made it a kvias of their Anhaga. Not that this was a ruling of some kind by Kohanim Gedolim. Amar Rabbi Yossi, I mean, look, it's not absolute. I mean, it's not, it would happen that if there was a person who they felt was specifically Roy, I can tell you a Maaseh Shehaya, that there was a Maaseh V'Holichu, there was a time when a gentleman by the name of Mr. Arsula, and he took it out, and we know that he was a Yisrael Haya. And so it's not that it never happened. It once happened that they allowed him to take it. There's an interesting pirush, which some of the Achronim talk about, which is a little difficult to believe, but remember that there's the whole Zohar and the Midrashim, that the Ish Iti that's mentioned is an Ish Iti who is destined to die this year. So that... they would choose someone, a human who himself was already in the hands, so to speak, of the dark side, and that they knew that he was destined to die this year, and they would give it over to him. So they didn't want to give it over to Yisrael, that people should say that it's as if the Kohanim, they Bedavka wanted the Yisrael to die, and they didn't want to give it to Kohanim. So therefore, they made it a kvias that they would choose the Kohanim, because otherwise people would be, you know, all you need is to bring this up, it'll be a new... you know, Yisrael Lives Matter movement. So we got to be careful. V'kevesh asuna, they made this like bridge that would go out from the Azora and would cross over the dip that comes right afterwards when you go out of the Har HaBayit, and then you've got this dip to get you up to the Harim. So they would make this small bridge, like a walkway. And they did that because the Bavliim, those ridiculous Bavliim, would go along and all you metalshim besarov, omrim lo, tol vatzei. They were like very suspicious kind of people. Not suspicious, that's the word. Oh my God.
Oh. Superstitious.
Right, these senior moments. Anyway, so these were like very superstitious people. And it's like a bizoyan, and they would, you know, they would run up to the Sarmish Taleach, and they would start pulling on it, get out of here, take away all of these Averas. We can't stand it for another moment. You know, which was, so some learned that it's more than it was inappropriate, that they could come to be over on an Isser doing Malach on Yom HaKippurim, because they would be pulling out its hair. It would actually pull out hairs. which is an iser of telesh. But anyway, they did not like this anhaga, and so they actually made a bridge to not allow people to get near to the Sar Mishtaleach. Okay, so I just want you to know, by the way, there's some people who misunderstand Rashi. I've seen articles about this question, that somehow they, I don't know how they could read Rashi this way, but maybe they don't know Hebrew. Okay, but anyway, they think it's referring to pulling the hairs of the guy who was Mishaleach. I think it's a little ridiculous. Okay, anyway, the Gemara says, note that when he says the vidui, he does not say, like he did before, so the ani, uveisi, and then also mentioned separately the b'nei Aharon am kedoshecha. That was the second vidui. But over here, he only talks about the b'nei Yisrael. He doesn't say, how about the b'nei Aharon am kedoshecha, which is mashma, that we're talking about over here, only one shita. Remember, we had before machlokas about whether we should be doirish from the pasuk. That's mashma lechaper al, which is all of them together. That one of the kaporas was for everyone together: Yisrael, Levi, Kayanim. And so we had a machlokas about, does that mean, because Rabbi Yehuda said that everybody's together, does that mean that over here in the vidui he would be referring not only to Bnei Yisrael and Levi, he would be referring to Bnei Aaron as well. And then it should have said so. So Lechora says Rabbi Yirmiya Delok Rabbi Yehuda. We'll have to say that this, the Mishnah that leaves out the Aaron Am Kedoshecha, is not going Alibet Rabbi Yehuda, because Alibet Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yeshlam Kapara B'Sar Mishtaleach. Remember that he was Medayek in the Posek that everyone is together B'Sha'ar Averot in the Sar Mishtaleach. The alternative is to learn that kishem shevidui, there's two separate things. There's the vidui apar and there's the dama apar. There's the vidui of the sawyer, and that is separate from the dama sawyer. And the dama sawyer was that which was mechapa on the kohanim. Okay, so this Mishnah seems to have taken a particular stand in that direction to go against Reb Yehuda. So Zabai, not necessarily. Because the fact that when Aaron makes, so to speak, the Kohen Gadol makes the specific mention of Ani Uveiti, and then he adds Uvenei Aaron Am Kedoshecha, so then it's understandable that he wants to mention Vene Aaron, because he's expanding on himself. But when we're talking about making a vidui that mentions all of Klal Yisrael, so why would he have to mention separate the Kohanim? Otu Kohanim lav bichlal amcha Yisrael nino. I mean, he says beferish, chatu avu poshu amcha beis Yisrael, which includes Kohanim as well. So what makes you think that it's not Rabbi Yehuda? We wouldn't have had to mention it separately at all. Okay, then it says misaro lemisha malicho. Then the Kohen Gadol hands it over to the individual who's going to be taking it. Now. Note that it says in the pasuk immediately after v'samach Aaron et shtei yadav al rosh tasira chai vitvadalav, etc., etc. So then it says v'natan otam al rosh tasira v'shilach biyad ish iti, which means that the ish iti is a shliach of the Kohen Gadol, in which case he gives it over to the ish iti, who then takes it to the midbar. And that's why we said that he gives it to him. And why does it mention these two separate lashonos of ish and separately et? So I understand that et would mean a extraterrestrial, undoubtedly, right? But then ish would mean dafka, human. But if we learn that ish itself, saying ish, is already machshir, a alien, so then why do we need et? No, that's not the meaning. Okay. So ish, that doesn't mean alien. It means a non-Kohen, of course. So ish is lahakshirat hazar, so a non-Kohen is okay. So then what would be the meaning of saying iti? Iti is the same lashon as bimoado, so to speak. Iti is eight, a specific time, which means that he should be mizuman before Yom Kippur. In other words, we don't select him, hey, so-and-so, come on over here, I want to send this out with you. but rather this was a person who was set aside to do this particular Aveda before Yom Kippur, and therefore everything is now part of the Seder Aveda. And furthermore, the word E.T. would mean the same thing B'moado would mean, therefore, the man of the hour, which would imply that it would be a filu bituma and it would be a filu b'shabbat, just like B'moado is mashma. We'll talk about what the implications are for such a limud. First of all, I mean, it's Yom Kippur, so anyway, in that sense, it's always Shabbat Shabbaton. So what difference would there be a filu b'shabbat? And furthermore, we need to figure out what is there about what I do with the Sa'ira Mishtaleach that makes it a Chilul Shabbos that I would, Moshe Andel, please mute, that would make it a Chilul Shabbos and that would then require a Pesach to tell me that it can be done on Shabbos. That's very unclear. Okay, so let's go and analyze what we did in this Braita. How did we learn out in this Braita? We said Ish is Lahakshir, specifically there at Lahakshir et Hazar. Why not? In other words, if it wouldn't have said Ish, why would I have thought? Remember, I mean, the Torah defines specifically which Avedas need to be done, what is included under Chukah, and what is the Zos, and so on. And this is certainly not something, if it's not even done by a Kohen, I mean, if it's not even done in the Azara, so how in the world would I have thought that it requires a Kohen? Because, says the Gemara, it's not so partial. If we wouldn't have had the Pasuk, I would have said, Ma'adetema kapara k'tiv be. It says beferish in the pasuk lechaper. It says yomad chai lechaper. But the pashas of that pasuk, even though we learned that in the end the lechaper means that it has to be yomad chai until the dam of the one which is brought bifnim is mechaper. But the pashas of the pasuk is still true, namely that the seira mishtaleach is coming lechaper. So if that's the case, I would have thought, okay, then that means that the Torah is comparing it to the other Avedas of Kapora. So it's a serious Kapora, in which case it ought to require a coin just for the sake of Kapora. Kamashmalan, therefore, comes on the Pasuk to tell me, despite the Lechaper, it can still be done by the Zar. Then you said E.T. means Afilu B'Shabbat. I mean, like, what are we talking about? What are you doing by bringing this Sa'ir to the Makom of the Tzuk? I mean, unless you're ready to say that we're going specifically like Rabbi Akiva, like the Shita that says that Tchumim are D'oraisa. But if we don't pass in Tchumim are D'oraisa, so what exactly is the problem that we need to say that you can do this Afilu B'Shabbat? Omer of Sheshes, it's to tell me that if the Sa'ir was ill, now, obviously, this doesn't mean that at the time of the Hagralah it was ill, because remember that a chayla is not kosher for a korban. That's part of the hakriveil al pechatecha and so on. So we wouldn't have taken a soyer that's ill. What happens is that something happened to the soyer afterwards. Already after the Hagralah, it's having difficulty walking. So in that case, the person, ish iti, would carry it on Shabbat. So Markivo al Ketefo, very interesting vision on Yom Kippur of this, walking out with the Sa'ira Mishtaleach on your shoulders, like it's supposed to be carrying on its shoulders all of your sins. And now this poor Ishiti is carrying an awful lot on his shoulders. But anyway, there he goes, walking out with the Sa'ira Mishtaleach on his shoulders. And now, oh, but wait a minute. In other words, what you're talking about is Hotzah. You're talking about carrying, right? So, okay, carrying, if that's the case, I don't get it. How are you carrying? It's alive. Didn't we say that when you carry a live animal or a person, that's not really called Hotzah Midiraisa? It's only Rabbonin that answered that. That was the concept of Hachai Noseat Atzmo. A living being is considered to be involved in its own carrying. It's constantly adjusting its weight and so on. So you're not really doing the carrying yourself. So over here, you've got to say that it would be against the whole sheet of Rabbi Nassan. Remember, the Rabbi Nassan, according to him, you wouldn't even be over on Hotzah or on Arba Amis Prishus Arabim, obviously, which we're including in Hotzah. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, because Rabbi Nassan could be made in the case where the animal is sick, and certainly everybody agrees if it's so sick that it's like basically lying there in bed, that that is not considered to be nociatatsmo, and it doesn't participate in its own balancing. So it's carrying dead weight, so to speak. And chola, shiny. Therefore, I feel a little bit of Rabbi Nassan. We need a pasuk to tell me you can carry the dead weight of the sawyer on Shabbos, and there'd be no problem. Omer Afram, well, if you can carry it on Yom Kippur, then obviously you can carry it on Shabbos. I mean, so what do we need a special pasuk of ET to tell me afilu b'Shabbat? It doesn't make any sense. The Torah gave the mitzvah on Yom Kippur, which is called Shabbat, right? Shabbat Shabbaton. So why in the world would I think that I need a special pasuk to tell me on Shabbat if the etzem din was said on Shabbat, or that is to say Yom Kippur, unless we can conclude from here that the one thing that is not included in the Asiyas Melacha of Yom HaKippurim is Hotzah. So that would tell us that Zot Omeret, Eruv V'Hotzah Al Shabbat, Ve'in Eruv V'Hotzah Al Yom HaKippurim. There are no dinim on Yom Kippur of carrying. It would be like Yontav in that sense, and it would be something that would be mutter. So remember that when it comes to Shabbat, we're over there, the inyan of the Shabbaton has to do with the nature of the original Maaseh Bereishis. And the original Maaseh Bereishis was fundamentally an act of space, creation of space, which provides for separation. I understand that that's the essence of Shabbat, but it is not the essence of Yom Kippur, where there's only this din of Shabbaton. So over there, even though you're high of kares for doing melacha, but I wouldn't have known, and unless it's told me specifically, and therefore, according to some shitas, there's no iser on doing melacha of hotzah on Yom Kippur. Only the other melachas are aser. It's amazing. And Lamaisa, this is the way Rav Fram concludes over here. But I mean, we don't paskin that way, and actually increases where the Gemara brings Rav Fram. It says, not necessarily, because just because it's mutter on Yom Kippur, that's because it's part of the essence of Yom Kippur. There's no way to have a Yom Kippur that you're not going to be mechalal with taking out the Sar Mishtalayach. But what happens if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat? So then, since that's not an innate necessity, so then inachinami, that wouldn't be for the pasuk. So I wouldn't know that you could do it. So in the end, the Gemara is Deicha Rav Fram. Over here, we're left with Rav Fram's conclusion. That Zot Omeret Eruv Ha'otzah Al Shabbat, Ve'ein Eruv Ha'otzah Al Yom HaKippurim. So all of these, then of course, when we throw in the word Eruv, I mean, the word Eruv is basically the Rabbanan. So if there's no Isser of Hotzah, obviously the Rabbanan are not going to extend the non-existent Isser of Hotzah. So, okay, but it's sort of thrown in that all of these concepts of Rishuyos, so the careful extension of the ideas of Rishuyos, even into different types of Rishayachiyats and so on, it's just to make it more understandable why this would not be related to Yom Kippur. Why would we focus on Yom Kippur on this idea of Rishuyos in this sense? Truth is, of course, that Yom Kippur is profoundly related to Mechitzas. That's like part of the whole issue, right? The different level of the Kedusha of Mechitzas. But that is different than the existential meaning of space in terms of individual existence. So that's what he holds. There's no Erev Hotzah when it comes to Yom HaKippur. The next thing you said in the Braita, we're still examining the Braita. We're trying to understand each diak and why we need it. So the next thing that we said was that ET means that it's afilu bitum'ah. Where in the world, I mean, I understand, I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm like walking through the wilderness over here to throw the Sa'ir Lazazel down a cliff. Like, I don't understand what kind of Isser Tumah is involved. Like, where am I going that I'm not allowed to be Tumah? So what would this possibly mean? Lama Yilchata. Omer of Sheshet, Lomar She'im Nitma Mishalcho Nichnas Tameh La'azarao Mishalcho. Remember that we said before that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to hand over the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach to the one who is the Mishaleach. This is now a play on words, because he is a Shaliach to be Mishaleach. But that means that the Kohen Gadol has to hand it over to him. And since that is part of the job of the Kohen Gadol, the Ish Iti is supposed to come into the Azorah and accept it from the hands of the Kohen Gadol. What if he's tummy? So can he come in to accept it from the hands of the Kohen Gadol, which is part of the way that we say Shilach Biyad Ish Iti? That would be the point of calling him E.T. That even if he is tummy and is osir peknisa la'azara, he is nichnas tummy la'azara u'mishalcho. So then that means that we would prefer, even though obviously we could just call somebody else, because it's not ma'akev that he has to be selected from before. But since the Torah described the Aveda in this sense of E.T., that he should be mizuman, we don't want to give it to somebody else. And therefore we understand that the idea of E.T., that is to say, b'mo'ado afilo betuma, would be this case. So that's the point. He is allowed to come in. Now, they once asked Rebbe Eliezer, how about if the Se'ir HaMishtaleach got sick? Would you be allowed to carry the Se'ir HaMishtaleach on your shoulders? Amar lahem. So his answer to the people who asked him that question was, hey, I got news for you. This Sawyer is so strong, it could carry me and you together. I wouldn't worry about his getting so sick that you got to carry it. Want to get on its back? Let's go for a ride. Giddy up. That's a weird answer. How about if the Mishaleach got sick? Can we send it with somebody else? Amarlam, oi, mir soll sein gesund. What are you talking about getting sick? Me and you can stay well. The Miri says that the reason that we're bringing this here, even though the Gemara says afterwards that he avoided all of these questions because it would have meant that he would have said something that he hadn't heard directly from his Rebbe. But Lemaises, the Miri says a beautiful Nekuda, which is that the Gemara brings these stories to teach Talmidim to shut up, talk about intelligent things. I mean, really, do we have to worry about that? Are we going to have to, me and you are not going to have to carry it. Believe me, it could carry both of us. This is not exactly our business. You have a question. The Lashon HaMiri is very interesting. And when you have a question that is like these theoretical questions, you know, these kind of people that love to sit around, what would be if and what happens? Fine, it's okay to deal with those things, but please don't bother the Gadol HaDor about it. Don't go like into Beis Din and expect them to give you. Ask somebody who's learning that knows a little bit more than you what he thinks. You can discuss it, but these are not the kind of questions to present to Rebbe Eliezer. So what would be? Are we able to carry it on our backs? So then they asked him, and how about if you pushed it off the tzuk and it didn't die? So are you supposed to go down and make sure it's dead? So he says to them, ah, Ken Yovdu Kol Oivecha Hashem. Everybody that are the Oivim of Yisrael should just have the same end as this Sawyer Lazazel. That's the last thing you got to worry about. Believe me, if they threw you off of the cliff, we'd be very happy for what happens to you. So then they asked Rebbe Eliezer, what's the din of Ploni Maolo Lama Ba? We didn't want to say who Ploni. Well, most understand that this is a reference to the whole Gemara in Sanhedrin about whether Shlomo HaMelech, since it says in the Pasuk that as he got older, his wives were Mates Levovo, and he was Oved Avad Azor, and the Gemara says, Chas V'Sholom, it doesn't mean that. It means that he wasn't Mocha in them, and so on and so forth. Remember, there was that whole movement in the Gemara to kick Shlomo out of Olam Haba, and they wanted to say, you know, Melachim that are listed in the Mishnah to add Big Shalosiv Odecha. They didn't want to mention his name. It's Mashma, that's what it's referring to over here. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, Basco came out and said, mind your own damn business. This is not up to you to decide. This is for me to decide. It's not your kind of question. So they asked him, apparently, Rashi says, probably it's what it's referring to. Maybe it's just referring to a particular person, but that's unlikely. What about Shlomo HaMelech? Does he have a chelek in Olam Haba or not? Omar Lahem, so he says, maybe you were asked about somebody else. Maybe that's what you meant. So again, that would be a reference then maybe to Avshalom in that case, possibly. These are all remuzim to that period, which would include the next question. Ma'o lahatzil ro'eh kivsa min ha'ari. Would a shepherd be allowed to save a lamb from a lion? Now, this sounds very, very much like the kivsat harash, right? Which would mean, would the shepherd, would be a reference to Uri Achiti, would he be allowed to kill the lion who would be David HaMelech, which is the Gur Aryeh Yehuda, in order to save? That means, is somebody allowed, Was she married? If she was married, so then you would be allowed to prevent her being taken by David. You'd be allowed to kill the lion, right? So he said, you're only asking me about the lamb. Amar lahem. So they said, mal hatzala ro'e min ha'ari. Well, how about at least saving the ro'e from the lion? He said, were you asking me about the shepherd? Okay, the Dagos Abach adds over your different things when he, that it would fit into the previous Lashon of the Gemara. So they said, can you save the Kivsa ben Ari? So he says to them, Lo Shaltuni Ela Al Haro'eh. Okay, what's the din of the Ro'eh? He said, maybe Lo Shaltuni Ela Al Kivsa. That's the simple mashmud of the correct Lashon, which is implied in the other Rishonim as well. But again, most of the people that give, including Tosis, who give an explanation over here, say the Kivsa is the Kivsa Sarash, and the shepherd, the Roya of a Kivsa, would be her husband. And the lion refers to David HaMelech, who is called the Aryeh. And the question is, do we hold that Batsheva was an Eshes Ish or not? So according to Rabbi Yonasan, it was that there was certainly a get that was given before, and there was no Isser of Eshes Ish, and so on. Okay. Mamzer, then they ask him, what's the din of a mamzer? Does he inherit or not if his father dies? So he said, according to this, Shema lo sha'altuni ela ala yibum, does he do yibum or not? Which, of course, is really a discussion in the Gemara, in Yevamos, and we say that a mamzer is considered to be a child in all ways, and there's no difference between a regular legitimate, so to speak, it's not really a lashon that we use, a kosher or a mamzer. Ma'o lasud et beto. Are you allowed to paint your house bisman hazeh after the churban? So he said, maybe you were asking about whether you're allowed to put seed around your grave, huh? Which, of course, is also a question, because there is a mitzvah lasud, but over there that was to avoid tuma for kohenim or echle truma. And bisman hazeh ein achiyami, there's an afkamina in needing to avoid that. Now, all of this is weird, says the Gemara, but it's lomi pnei shifligam bedvarim. Usually, when people do that, it's because they don't know the answer, so they say something cute, so not as to not bring attention to the fact that they don't know the answer. But that's not what was going on over here. He wasn't being mafligan bedvarim. Ela mipnei shelo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo miolam. It's because he had a derech that unless something was nogea mamish right away and he had to come up with psakim and so on, he would not give over things that he hadn't heard from his rav, and therefore he didn't want to say anything. There's a lot of discussion. We know Rabbi Eliezer discusses many, many things throughout Shas, which he it says Dan, he was Dan and Kal Vachomer and so on and so forth. So a lot of different approaches. Does it mean things that are not Minas Sfora, but just Kabbalahs that he had? Does it mean only if it wasn't Bifnei Rabbi, because the same Rebbe Eliezer who said over, it says, Beferish of the Gemara Chagiga, Dvorim Shal Omar Mi'olam, these were things nobody ever heard, and he was Mavakish Rishos from his Rebbe to say them over, so they're Mechalik between if it's Bifnei Rabbi, so Emas Rabbi Olav, and he knows that he would only say what's right because his Rebbe is there, and his Rebbe would be Mochiachim if he was saying something that was wrong. Others learned that it was only while his Rebbe was alive that he wouldn't say anything that he hadn't heard from him, but l'achar moysa he would. Okay, a lot of issues. What does that mean that he never said anything? Bichlal. Solution. Yeah, I won't say it over. Okay. Shala Isha Chachama, that's Rabbi Eliezer. So this woman who was one of these modern women, you know, she went to the local women's kailal. So she comes over to Rabbi Eliezer and she says, Miyachar Shemaaseh Egel Shavim. Since all of the Avedis of the Egel, before everybody was over the Egel in the same way. So why do we find that we have three separate inyanim? We have the Cherev, it says that the Ish Karbo and go around and killing, that would mean Alpi Besdin. And then we had So that was b'magifa, that they died b'magifa. And then we find that Moshe Rabbeinu ground up the egel and he fed it to them. And that means that it would kill them the way that it would affect an isha with a sota, which is b'hadro kan. So then the stomach would swell and burst and so on. Why do we have three separate inyanim? Amarla, so he said to her, listen, if you want to spend your time correctly, don't go to the women's kollel. Instead, you should be doing knitting. This did not go over too well in the political correctness sphere, let me tell you. So, ein chochma leisha ela bapelech. It says so befirish in the Torah. V'cheinu oimer, v'chol isha chachmat leiv biyadea tavu. So a woman who has chokhmah in her heart, that chokhmah is expressed through the way that she does things, not that she thinks about things. Women think about things is very dangerous. It's good for them to do things. And all of that chokhmah goes directly into their ability to make a difference in life. When women sit back and start thinking about things, then instead of doing things, then the whole incredible yichus of being a woman is lost. So that's what you should be doing. Again, the Meiri says that this was another one of his funny responses, just because he did not think that the kind of things that were being asked of him were appropriate. So he kept putting people off in different ways. Itma. So in fact, what is the reason? So Rav and Levi argue about what the reason is that we have three separate stories of onshim for the ego. So one of them said, if you did an actual mais of aveda like zibuach or kitur, so over there, it was the cherev. That was besayif, because at that time, all of the dinim, we didn't have the separate dinim of what the arba mises besdin were yet. So because of that, all mises were besayif. Gifeif and ishek, if he just showed his love of the egel by kissing the egel, hugging the egel, so then that was the vayigo fashem. Keneged gifuf, right? Vayigof Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them directly with that plague. And somach b'levavo, and when he just like took joy in the fact that we made the egel, and he's like feeling really great about that. So then he was punished like the isha sota. V'chanamar, no, it's very, very clear. It's not the difference in what they did. It's the question of if you have Edim and Hasra, so then fine, then Besdin punishes. If you have Edim, but there's no Hasra, so Besdin can't punishment. So then, without Hasra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who knows whether the person was totally bemazed or not. So then it was Al Pi Hashem, and then it was the plague. Without Edim and without Hasra, that requires already a Bedika Keseita, and that was Bahadro Khan. Omer of Yehuda, you should know that the entire Shevet Levi did not do any Avedas Kerchovim, and they were not nichshal in the Egel. Shenemar v'yamod Moshe b'shar hamachaneh. So remember, Moshe says, Mila Hashem Elai, and what happens? V'yesfu elav kol b'nei Levi. So kol b'nei Levi means exactly what it says. Kol b'nei Levi. Every last one. Yotzev Ravina v'karmel Hashmaitza. So Ravina said this over. So Esve b'nei Papa Bar Abba, Ravina, how can you say that? It says b'feresh that in the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives b'zois habracha, he says to Shevet Levi that they were so given over b'mesiras nefesh takadosh baruch hu haomer la'aviv u'leimo lo ri'itiv. It's like I don't even recognize my own father, my own mother, and they went around killing their own father and mother. If they had done Maisa Egel. I don't understand. I thought you said that nobody from Levi was Nirsha. And then it goes on to say, Echav, I mean, it talks about everybody. It talks about Echav lo Ikir, talks about Banav lo Yada. I mean, these are all of him, if they're his brothers, if they're his children. So obviously there were some people from Levi that did the Maisa Egel. Answer Ravina. No, Aviv means his father. That means his grandfather, who's also called Aviv. But it's a maternal grandfather. Maternal grandfather could be a Yisrael, not from Levi. And the same thing is true about Echav. It could be a half-brother who is Echav mi imo mi Yisrael. But it was certainly not a Levi. So his mother, it was his brother from his mother, but not from the same father. And his sons could also refer to a grandchild. And it was a grandchild from some the son-in-law who was a Yisroel and who was not a Levi. And then the last part of the Mishnah said they made this stairwell, this walkway, because of the Babylonians. Babylonians. Omar Rabba Barbarchana lo Babliim ayu. They weren't from Babel. Actually, they were Alexandrians. El Alexandrium ayu. Why did they call them Bavliim? Because in Eretz Yisrael, they hated people from Babel. That was like the ones who didn't come up to build the space on Mikdash, the ones who never made Aliyah, the ones who established a whole set of yeshivas and permanents there and didn't find it necessary to come to Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't stand them. So because of that, that's why they always make fun of them. The whole way of thinking in Babel was considered to be darkness. Remember. So because of the way that they were meruchak from the whole approach to life, so when somebody acted like a real idiot, they would call him a Bavli. So him a Bavli, and they talked about people who did dumb things, they called them Bavli. Tanya Rabbi Yudah Imer lo Bavli mer lo Alexandrim ayu. Whew, said Rabbi Yossi to him, boy, thank God. Tanuach da'atcha she'inach da'ati mamish. You make me feel so much better, because every time I read this, it was like, oh my God, people from Bavel, like from my community where I came from, would do stuff like this. Now I understand, of course not. It's those dumb Alexandrians. Anyway, Tovid say, they would say, take it and go. Tana, the Brisa says, they said, what Mashoi Tzefira Dain? What's this Sawyer doing over here walking so slow when Chovi Dara Sagian? There's so many Averis that are here at this door. Get a move on, you idiot. And they're pushing it and tearing at its hair.